Hello and welcome to Django Chat, a weekly podcast on the Django web framework. I'm William Vincent, joined as always by Carlton Gibson. Hi, Carlton.
Hello, Will. How are you?
I'm great. And today we have exciting news. We're going to talk about Django 3.0, which is coming out this December, but I believe the feature freeze has just gone into place. So we're going to talk all about what to expect and a little bit about the process that the Django fellows such as yourself go through to make it happen.
Yeah, so the feature freeze was the 9th of September, and then we put the alpha out on, I think, the 10th or the 11th, maybe the 10th. And so that's available now. So you can go to the website, you can download that, you can pip install it, and then you can test whether your app is compatible with Django 3.0. And if you can do that, that's super. So the take-home message from this podcast is go get the alpha, run it against your test suite, and then please report if they've broken anything, because it's this time. What we'd rather have is reports that we broke something now rather than the day after we release the final in December.
Right. So let's maybe talk about, so what's going to be included? And then we can talk about what, you know, missed the cut and we can have looking forward to in 3.1, 3.2.
Okay, super. So the big headline feature is the ASCII support, the ASGI support, which is the async support. So this is the first step in the road to making Django async. And Django from 3.0 will speak ASGII, which is the equivalent of WSGI. So WSGI, what's that? It's the Web Services Gateway Interface. It's the standard for Python web servers to communicate with web application frameworks at the back end. And so Django is a WSGI framework, Flask is a WSGI framework. They're all WSGI frameworks. And up until now, Django has supported WSGI. From the step away, the evolution of that is towards the asynchronous gateway interface, which is ASGII. And Channels speaks ASGII already, and Starlet speaks ASGII, and there's a few other frameworks out there that speak that. But that was now coming into Django Core. And so from 3.0, you will be able to run Django, your old synchronous, your exactly existing Django with an ASGII web front end, so Daphne or Uvicorn or one of these ASGII front ends. But what's kind of what's interesting at that stage is then you can embed that in an ASGII app, so you could have, I don't know, a data set application running alongside your Django application, and you could serve those from the same front end. They just sit next to each other. Or you can wrap your existing Django application in an ASGII middleware and then serve that via an ASGII server. All kind of interesting things like that. So that's the sort of main headline.
And this will be opt-in, so the default will still be WSGI, or what's the plan on that?
Oh, yeah, you'd configure, and so you start project is exactly the same. You know, nothing changes. You run it with Gunicorn exactly as you always did, and then if you want to, you can create instead of a WSGI file, you can create an ASGI file, and there's docs on how to do that and what you include. And basically, the only difference is instead of get WSGI application or WSGI, you import the WSGI get default application function, which wraps up the WSGI handler. There's the same for an ASGII application, which wraps up the ASGII handler. And it's really the only difference at this
And stage. Can you do this on an app-by-app basis? Was that what you were saying?
No. So that's the main...
Right, it's project level, you decide.
Yeah, it's project level. So the main handler, which takes incoming requests and returns them back to the server, is either a WSGI handler or an ASGII.
Right, and you were giving the data set example, which is a Simon Willison project, as if you used ASGII, you could have that be piping into Django asynchronously, whereas you would need a background worker.
Well, at the moment, you'd route that separately. So you'd have your base ASGII application, and part of that would go, you'd send to your existing Django app, and part of that you'd send to dataset. So you'd have them sort of side by side at this stage.
I imagine we'll do a lot of talking and explaining about this going forward.
This is almost going to be every episode for the next 2 years. You know, we're going to talk about ACE.
So before we get more into it, so who do we have to thank for doing the heavy lifting on this? Because we've had some guests on, but I always like to call out names because I feel like most people, there's people in the shadows who do the heavy lifting to make this happen. Who are the names that come to mind for you?
Yeah, so it's Andrew Godwin at this stage. Like he's done all the conceptual work on going into this on Channels, and then on the ASGII ref, the imp specification, and then the sort of core library around ASGII. He's created that. Well, I mean, with other inputs from, you know, Tom Christie and others, you know, so it's not just him, but he's done that. And then he's brought he pulled this together at, it seems, almost just out of the blue at the DjangoCon Europe sprints in Copenhagen.
Yes.
We went from, oh, ASGI's going to come, we're not quite sure when, to, oh, there's a pull request we're implementing.
Well, it makes it easier to say, what's new in 3.0? It's like, oh, actually, there is something async there.
Yeah. Because before it was like, well, we're targeting this. And, you know, but Andrew's, you know, he's an absolute superhero and he's done it. Not all by himself, but largely all by himself.
Yeah. Well, the good news is this episode, we won't have a lag on it. So we'll be releasing it tomorrow. So if you see Andrew at DjangoCon US, where you and I will both be starting this weekend, or online, please do send him, Tom Christie and others, a thanks, because they don't get much thanks for the work that they do. But we all rely on it.
Yeah, and they really are pushing the whole ecosystem forward here. So that's super. What can I say? What else can I say about ASGI? I just say that actual async views, which is kind of where the really interesting bit comes, will be 3.1 now, targeting that, where you'll be able actually to write async, these async views, which are super for things like proxying to a third party or collating several endpoints into a single response, or, you know, any kind of IO blocking endpoint. You know, people have 5 years ago, you'd have gone to Node.js for that. And now you just don't even, you don't even have to go to a different Python framework, which you have done, say, a year ago, 18 months ago. You'll just be able to carry on in Django land as if, you know, nothing changed. And so that's a real, that will be a real milestone. That'll be a real step forward.
So if you put on your projection hat, how do you think this is going to impact background workers, you know, Celery, Redis? I mean, I know we don't know, but it has the potential to massively disrupt how you would set that up, because right now you have to use a background worker to do async-like behavior.
Yeah. So I think queues, in the short run, queues aren't going to go any away, because they're kind of stable and they're mature and they're tested, whereas this stuff is all new and it's bleeding edge, and so it won't work as smoothly as you want. But yes, in Starlet, for instance, you can already spin up a background.
Can you quickly say what Starlet is for the listeners?
So Starlet is Tom Christie's async micro framework, I guess you'd call it. I mean, it's a
and
bit
Tom
more
Christie
than a micro
is the creator of Django REST framework.
Yeah, exactly. And so he's done a lot of the theoretical work here by laying out Starlet, and it was all from a clean plate, so it's nice and, you know, there's no crusty bits because it's fresh, and it's a lovely little thing, and it's super, and it does really show the way forward. And so he gave a talk at DjangoCon Europe about a possible redesign of Django, where basically he was talking about Starlet and what he's been doing with you know, an ORM there. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, we've linked to that before, but we'll definitely link to that again, because it's a fantastic, like, 50-minute talk, and he explains async as well as anyone I've seen.
What's going on
it.
With ASGI? Yeah.
Actually, same with
what's going on with the ASGI, and
yeah, and I actually same with Andrew Godwin, his talk at PyCon Australia or DjangoCon Australia. He also lays out the plans for async. So we'll link to those two.
Yeah, and I think he's got his talk at DjangoCon coming up next week. I think he's on this same topic as well. I think.
Yeah, so be on the lookout.
You know, it's all. But like the thing with Tom's talk is it was about Starlet, but it was supposed to be about a Django redesign, but it's exactly how Django is going to end up. You know, it's going to look very similar to the code that Tom's demonstrating there. And it's much easier to show it with actual code than it is to wave your hands and say, here's some ideas.
Right. So, well, and this async stuff is really exciting for Django, because I get questions all the time about, you know, Django versus some other framework. And we've talked in our episode, we've talked about Flask. You know, Flask is intrinsically tied to WSGI. So it will be interesting to see how it handles async. We'd love to get one of the big poobahs of Flask to come on and talk about that. But also, Ruby on Rails, we're going to have David Hennemeyer Hansen on next week. And I don't believe that Ruby is async or that Rails is. So that'd be an interesting question for him. How are they thinking about that? I'm sure he'll have opinions. But this is something in terms of Django. It's another feather in the cap of, you know, it's not mature yet, but it will be. And it means that Python has, you know, the ability to do all these node-like features that right now, as you said, people say, oh, you got to use Node for this.
Yeah. You shouldn't have to change your language just because you need higher throughput. I mean, sure, there will always be some kind of really tight embedded situation where Python is not the language of choice, right? But that shouldn't be the 90% case. That should be the, you know, the the 1 in 1,000, 1 in 10,000 right. case, not, you know, 10% of cases where I've got to change language. So you don't want to have to change language, and async.io really brings that, enables you to stay in Python. And then with Django being as it is, you shouldn't have to change web framework just to do these.
Yeah, no, it's
really, you know, I need a higher throughput endpoint. You shouldn't have to change your web framework for that. So you won't have to. And that's, for me, is really super. But we didn't finish talking about background tasks. So in Starlet, you can already spin up a lightweight background task.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I think we'll bring that in. And then that's not going to be a full queuing solution. You're always going to need, you know, something more robust, but which may be built on top of async. But you're going to, as you scale up, you're always going to need something more substantial. But for, I want to send an email, I want to render a PDF, those kind of basic tasks, web out of request response, web 101, you'll be able to just do in the framework, you know, spinning up a background task. That's on the roadmap, but that's how it's going to be. That's, you know.
Yeah, no, it's really exciting.
Looking into the crystal ball.
And so, what is there any other major 3.0 features? I mean, that's a pretty big one.
Oh, yeah. So the other one, other big one is MariaDB compatibility. Mm. So up until now, we've supported SQLite, Postgres, MySQL, and Oracle. And the MySQL fork, open source fork, is MariaDB. And whilst that's kind of there are compatibility differences. And so it's kind of been compatible, but not quite. And that out from 3.0, it's officially supported. And so all database features will, you know, get the same love and work and attention that we give to all the backends.
Right. Well, in our chat with Adam Johnson, he talked at length about MariaDB, MySQL, and so folks want to learn more about that.
Yeah, so if you're in the MySQL world, then MariaDB is the way to go, I think, now. It's the open source option, and pace of development is faster, and, you know, it's where you want to be. It's where all the mind share is.
So what about features that just missed? Because I saw there was some talk on JSON fields.
Well, hang on. Before we, because my other favorite one is that, so these are my sort of top three, is enums for choices, for model fields. You've always been able to, so string field, the example is school years, right? So you've been a freshman, sophomore, senior.
That is the canonical example, you've always
Right, well, that's from the docs, right? So you've been able to define that using strings, and that's all very well and good, but what you really wanted to always use was an enum, which is a constricted list of specific values, right? So that, you know, it's something that Python didn't have, was enums, and then, I don't know, 3 point something or other, enums came in, but they weren't particularly user-friendly in that you had to compare, for instance, the enum value with the enum value. You couldn't compare it with a string and get the right kind of result. The natural API usage wasn't very good. And so there was, anyway, that's all been worked around. And you can now use, for your model choices, you can use an actual enum. And the nice comparison APIs that you want are all being implemented. So it works how you want. So that's a really good feature. And I think for most users, that's actually the most significant feature. And
subtle, but if you've done anything with choice fields, that's a really big one.
I mean, did anyone use Django Braces and it put in had a choices thing, which tried to implement?
Yeah,
And that was great, but then you got sort of caught in this, I've used this Django Braces field and I can't quite work out how to escape from that because it added this whole scaffolding around choices. Well, use an enum. An enum is almost always going to be the natural, and there's enums, special subclasses for string types. So, you know, if you want a freshman, sophomore, senior type enum, there's special class for that. Or if you want integers, there's special classes for that. So, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 might be your choices. Or you can create a subclass for your own field type, you know. I don't know what you might put in there because those are the obvious ones. But if you could, for most users, that's just an awesome addition.
Yeah, and who do we have to thank? Again, I always like to call out for both for MariaDB and then for the enum, who's been leading the charge developmentally?
Well, Shay and Nick Pope are the big ones there who've been doing it. So Nick pushed that over the line finally. That took a lot of work. It was because there was some debates on the mailing list about how it couldn't be this way and it couldn't be that way. And there was a bit of pushback. So that it's in is awesome, and credit to
them. So three major features for 3.0. There's some symmetry there.
Yeah.
And speaking of the docs too, I wanted to, separate from the Google developers list, because there's also the Django users Google group, which I think most people can agree the format is maybe not ideal. I think Andrew Godwin launched a discourse page that's on, I think we'll link to it. I think it's forums.django.
With Marcus and Tobias.
Yeah,
as
a bunch of people. But I'll link that, and I want to.
Florian was involved.
Be pushing that because I think that's a really welcome addition to the community.
So that's a discourse forum, right? With discourse being the back end software.
Yeah, and that's something I've thought about just doing for a long time because there isn't a great user friendly place where kind of everyone hangs out to answer questions from users.
And I think that's the thing. Everyone hangs out. I mean, so, you know, you or I might start a forum, but it's just a forum on our website. We know, but because it's, you know, forum.djangoproject.com, hopefully we can get the critical mass needed to make that into a welcoming and definitive location to get support.
Exactly. And we'll put the link, but I typed in forums.djangoproject.com. It wasn't working. I was like, what's going on? But it's forum. So
we should probably get a redirect on that.
So that's exciting news too. So, 3.1. So maybe JSON fields or...
Yeah, so that was a Google Summer of Code project that went on over the summer, and it's so nearly ready, but it was just coming in too hot. So Sage, whose last name escapes me momentarily, did that, and he's done a brilliant job. And it will be, you know, it needs another going over, a couple of months more, and it will be merged in, and that will be 3.1. But what that gives us is JSON field for all the supported DBs, including MariaDB.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And so that's just awesome. Like, so for me, one of the, I not always use JSON field, but I use JSON field a lot. And what that has meant for the last few years is that even just spinning up a test project, an idea on my laptop where I'm just playing around, I've had to spin up Postgres. Now, I've always got Postgres spinned up, but it's just that one extra hurdle. Well, what I really want is to just use SQLite.
Yeah.
I really like SQLite. I just want to use that. And I want to use that until the point at which I've got concurrent writes, in which case then I'll, you know, think about switching. And I haven't been able to do that.
Now you can, or you will be able
With the JSON, with the built-in JSON field, I'll be able to do that. And I think that would be super because people will be able to explore JSON field without this whole extra step of spinning up a separate database.
Right, which there is, I mean, I'm thinking of this in the context of my talk at DjangoCon is going to be on search, and we're going to do an episode on that. But to use Postgres's built-in full-text search, which is built into Django, you have to spin up Postgres. And that's not an easy task, and there isn't... I'll show a way to do it. I like doing it with Docker, and I show in chapter 2 of Django for Professionals, my new book. You can read that for free online, but there's a lot of different ways to do it, and it's a big hurdle even for me just going through the examples, thinking of the talk. I was just like, oh god, I gotta escape SQLite, start project land, and make it a little more real. So it's really nice not to have that hurdle to play with the fields.
Yeah, but I mean, just out of interest, there's full text search support in SQLite too, right?
So, but not built into Django.
Have we not? Right. Okay. So let me just write that down. So we've got to get that working. I mean, Simon Willison has done amazing stuff with search on.
Yes, he has. Well, SQLite, he's doing.
Why aren't we robbing all of that and putting that into Django?
Maybe. Yeah, we can ask him at DjangoCon. Yeah, he's started his fellowship at Stanford. Anything else? That was the high points. I wanted to, these releases come out. It's the version numbers is really scary to beginners. And in practice, it's, Django's quite mature. There aren't, are there any breaking changes? That's actually a good question. I know there'll be a full write-up.
But yeah, there's a list, but they're
not major.
There's nothing like, it's not like when we changed the middleware for 1.10 or something like that, which even that wasn't a big change. You just had to, change the middleware classes to middleware in the settings, and you had three versions in order to do that, so it wasn't the end of the world. But there aren't any big structural changes like that, is what I'm trying to say.
And we'll do a full episode, and I'll probably write some tutorials in December when it launches live. But for now, if you're listening, please do go get the alpha, try it out.
Yeah, if you've got continuous integration and you could run an extra build on your continuous integration with the alpha, then that would be amazing, because that tells us either that we did break something, in which case we can fix it before the final release, or it equally important, it tells us that we didn't, and
that's a win either way. All right, great. Well, this is a shorter one. We want to do some more shorter ones instead of the lengthier ones we've been doing recently. So if you want to give us feedback. We're at ChatDjango on Twitter, and all the episodes are at djangochat.com. And we have a new newsletter. So if you prefer to get an email telling you about what's happening, there's a link to do that on the website as well. So I'll talk to you next time, Carlton.
All right. Okay. Take care. Join us next time. Bye. Bye-bye.